Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
It is so good to see you here this morning. My name is Tim Park. I serve as our lead pastor. And if this is your first visit to our church, we're so glad you're here. And we'd love to meet you. Just say hi and send you home with a little gift. And so if you have a minute after service, please stop by Guest Central out on the patio. And if this is your first visit to our church, we trust that you will experience the warmth of Jesus in this place. And I'm so thankful to be part of a church family who loves Jesus, who wants to know him and make him known. And I'm just so thankful for the season that we're in. I want to take a moment to say a huge thank you to our women's ministry team. Thank you for all your efforts in making last night such a meaningful and enjoyable evening. I heard so many great things from last night. And thank you to all the ladies who were there at last night's cafe night. I'm sure it was a wonderful evening. So thank you for all the efforts that you put into last night. This is a great season for our church. As fall is now gradually approaching, most of the kids are back in school. Most, some are still on their way back. But fall is here. And so this Wednesday, our Wednesday Kids Bible Club kicks off for the fall term, 6:30 to 8 p.m., and you can register your kids out on the patio after service. And then also, this Wednesday, there's a four-week free class called Christian Basics that's kicking off. This Wednesday, from 6:30 to 8 p.m., four consecutive weeks, and this will be taught by our community life pastor, Daniel Teeter. And if you are new to the faith, or maybe you're exploring what Christianity is all about, or maybe you want a refresher on the basics of Christianity, I encourage you to sign up. It's a free class, 4 weeks. And so just remember this website, efreedb.org/basics. So just remember, /basics, and you can sign up. I encourage you to sign up tonight, and that way you can get ready for this Wednesday. And also, if you noticed on the way in, there was some big slide out in front, right? Some giant water slide. And so after service, it's our summer's end water event. And so I know a lot of the kids were looking forward to that. And big kids too, adults, if you brought your swimsuits, hey, enjoy, go down, and I'll have my camera ready, as I said last week. And so that's right after service, and I hear that a light lunch will be provided as well. Well, with that in mind, would you bow with me? We want to go before the Lord and just prepare our hearts for his word. Thank you, God, for seasons, and you are the God of all seasons. We thank you for a wonderful summer. As we make our way into the fall season, we anticipate a wonderful season ahead because we worship an awesome God. Thank you, God, for what you have in store for us and what you have in store for us this morning as we open your word and begin a new series. Father, would you transform our hearts so they would look more and more like Jesus? We pray all these things in his name. Amen. Well, the title of this morning's message is Seasons of Change. Seasons of Change, and we're launching a six-week series. And the title of the series is called Discipleship in Every Season. And throughout the season, we're going to take a close look at what it means to follow Jesus through all the different stages of life, beginning with childhood, and then into adolescence, and then into young adulthood, family and career, and into the empty nesting and retirement stages. And I'm going to begin our series by saying this. Discipleship is for everyone. Discipleship is for everyone, no matter your stage in life. And each message in this series is going to be focused, yes, on particular life stages, but I want to know that there is going to be timeless truth for everyone throughout this series, not just for those who are currently in that particular stage in life. Next week, we're going to offer encouragement to little kids and then also to their parents and grandparents. But please know that next week, if you are not a kid, okay, and if you are not a parent, Or if you're not a grandparent, the message will be for you as well, because there will be principles for any stage in life. So in this series, it's not about, okay, there are six messages, and let me think about which stage in life I'm in, and I'll go to that week. And then all the others in the other life stages, they'll go to those weeks. That's not how this is designed. Every message is for every single one of us. So next week, we'll focus our attention on the stage of childhood. This morning, we're going to talk specifically about change. And that's something that every single one of us experiences. Change. This applies to every one of us. And right now, we are in the midst of change. We're changing from summer to fall. And you can tell because the days are getting gradually shorter. Each minute of every night, the sun goes down sooner and sooner. And so we're all experiencing change. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to explore change, and we're going to do so by way of one of the most profound and poetic passages in all of Scripture, and all of literature for that matter. And we're going to be in Ecclesiastes, and this passage is so powerful and so vivid. It is inspired songs. It's inspired literature, poems, and it really speaks to the human experience. And I want to say this, that in a minute we're going to read the passage in its entirety, but every time I open up to Ecclesiastes 3, and every time I study it, and every time I teach on it, God brings new insights. And that's because I change, and we all change. And whenever we go to the Word of God, we know that God's Word doesn't change, but the beauty is we change. And every season when we enter into God's Word, it could be a passage that we've read and studied countless times, but God has new insight, because in this particular case, as I study this passage at different stages of my life, I'm like, oh, I get it now. I understand it now. I understand it more fully because I'm in that stage of life. And so I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 3. And I'm going to read the first 8 verses in their entirety. And then we'll go back and we'll unpack all the different lines. Ecclesiastes 3, starting in verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. From a literary perspective, this passage, it is just absolutely remarkable, so poetic, vivid, poetic language is captured in such a profound way, and it speaks to the human experience. Every single one of us can relate to this passage that we just read. And the first question I have for us to ponder is, so what is this passage saying? What is it talking about? Well, this passage, in a nutshell, tells us that life on earth can be understood in terms of seasons. Life on earth can be understood in terms of seasons. Now, of course, here in Southern California, all the seasons, they just kind of blur, right, into each other. But for those of you who've lived in other parts of the country, in the Midwest or the East Coast, you know your seasons. You've experienced all the distinct seasons. You've gone through the harsh winters. Right here in Southern California, when it dips below 50, we think the world is ending, right? Because that's like winter for us. But the reality is it gets cold here too, especially where we live. It gets very cold in the winter. And one of the things I look forward to about winter here in Diamond Bar is whenever I enter the 57 North Freeway from Diamond Bar Boulevard. You're kind of climbing up, right? And in the winter months, as you reach the peak of the on-ramp, you see the snow-capped mountains in Diamond Bar. And so, yes, we have winters here in Southern California. And so seasons are a powerful metaphor for life. Each of us is walking through a season right now, every single one of us. And I'd like you to just take a moment, a quiet moment, and think about this question. What season are you in right now? What season are you in? Now, we can think about seasons in terms of stages of life. Some of you might be students. Some of you are starting your career. Some of you are engaged, about to get married. Some of you are newlyweds. Some of you are going to expand your family soon. Some of you are parents, grandparents, even grandparents. And so the question is, what stage in life, what season are you in right now? But we can also think about that question in terms of the difficulty or the ease of life right now. We often say, this is a difficult season for me. It's been a tough season for my family. Or this season has been wonderful. So again, what season are you in right now as we speak? Some of you, when you think about your seasons, you're thinking, you know, the flowers are blooming, that the waters are calm. I'm just enjoying life. Others, you're like, the winter has been dark, the trees are bare. When is the sun ever going to come out? And so we all experience seasons in our lives. And the reality is we will experience all those seasons at some point or another in our lives. But here's the reality of seasons. Okay, none of us is exempt from the changing seasons. And today's passage, it starts out by saying there is a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant and a time to uproot. In other words, there are moments to begin something new and moments when things must come to an end. A time to be born and a time to die. And each season brings with it a unique set of experiences. Now, some of us thrive on change. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you love change, okay? But some of you love change. You want to change your life every year. Maybe every month, you just like change. Others, you get nervous when change happens. You like routine. You like things. You like predictability. But one thing is certain, change is part of life. It's going to happen whether we like it or not. Have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror? So you wake up, you look at yourself in the mirror and you say to yourself, I've changed. I look different. Every one of us. That gray hair used to not be there. That wrinkle, where'd that come from? The reality is we stand in front of the mirror, no matter what stage we're in, and we can see change. It is inevitable. From Sunday to Sunday, I even come to church, and especially those in the stage of little ones, they just change from one week to another. It's amazing. That voice got deeper. Wow, they grew a couple inches. So change is inevitable. It's part of life. And we need to be prepared to navigate it. So there's a time to be born and a time to die again. There are times where we're going to start something new and at times when those things will come to an end. The passage goes on to say there's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build. Now, what does this mean? Okay, at first glance, it's not obvious, but when it says here, there's a time to kill and a time to heal, this line is speaking about something we all experience, and that's this: health. Everyone experiences some form of health. There are seasons when we feel strong and full of energy, and then there are seasons when our bodies, they just struggle, right? There are seasons where you feel vibrant, alive, and you can touch your toes. And then there are seasons where you just can't get out of bed. Your back hurts. Your shoulders hurt. Your legs hurt. Your bodies are breaking down. And many in our church might be experiencing seasons of poor health. Others are experiencing healing and renewed health. But here's an important reminder. Our view of God should not be based on how healthy we feel. Our view of God should not be based on how healthy we feel. Now, of course, it's okay and it's right and it's appropriate to thank God for good health. Let's say you're experiencing good health. You say, God, thank you for my health. That's right. That's appropriate. But we can also be grateful for the lessons he teaches us when we're not experiencing good health. And we can be grateful for the unexpected blessings in those seasons. Some of the most powerful, impactful testimonies that I've heard here at our church come from those in the midst of their health struggles, in the midst of their health crises, honoring God. And so our gratitude to God must not be tied to how well we're doing in terms of health. Every new year, people, they hope for and they pray for good health. God, we want good health in 2026. That's what a lot of people will say at the end of this year. I pray for happiness and health. But what if in 2026, what if that good health doesn't come? Is God any less good? Of course not. God can work through any season. The passage goes on to say there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's also a time to mourn and a time to dance. And the truth is this: there will be seasons when happiness just seems so far out of reach. Some days you might wake up and you already feel the weight of that day coming. And those seasons, they're just a part of life. That's the reality of life. And if you're walking through that season right now, please know this: that God does not intend for you to carry that burden forever. If you're feeling the weight of life and feeling heavy, please understand this. As you walk through it, God does not intend for you to feel the weight of that burden forever. Yes, there are going to be seasons of sorrow, seasons of tears. But we're not meant to stay stuck there. For the follower of Jesus Christ, did you know that joy always awaits us? It always awaits us. No matter what season we're in right now, joy always awaits us. And just as those who live through long winters in regions where they don't see the sun much at all in the winter, you know, they long for spring. And the reality is, the beauty is, spring comes. Spring does come. The flowers will bloom. Grief will give way to joy. Mourning will be turned into dancing. So there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. The passage goes on and says, there's also a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. This is a powerful image here. There's a time when you will scatter stones. Other times you will gather them. Now, what does that mean? Well, in ancient times, stones were often used as weapons in conflict. And so people would collect stones, and they would literally throw them at each other. And we still see that today on the news. People who are angry, they pick up rocks, and they throw them in protest. And so that's the picture here, that at times we will gather stones, but we just can't keep gathering stone after stone. There are times where we'll have to scatter them, cast them away, let them go. Okay. So there will be times in your life where you will face conflict. And many of you are in the middle of conflict right now. Conflicts are unavoidable. And during those conflicts, oftentimes we end up gathering stones. Okay. The challenge is this. Okay. The challenge is discerning which battles are worth fighting. Maybe you've heard that phrase, right? Pick and choose your battles. Because we cannot. We don't have the capacity nor the energy to fight every battle. We cannot. And even if we had the energy to do so, that's not God's intent for us. We cannot fight every battle. As we grow in our relationship with Jesus, here's the beautiful thing about conflicts. As we grow in our relationship with Jesus, we begin to develop discernment. And we have a better understanding of when to engage and when to step back. The more we mature, the more discerning will be about when to engage and when to step back. And I believe a helpful question to ask in those moments is this. Will my decision mean victory for Jesus or simply a win for me? So when you're thinking about a potential conflict and whether you should engage in it or step back, a helpful question is, will my decision, in other words, if I act on this, if I say something, if I speak up, will my decision, or if I decide to step back, will my decision ultimately mean victory for Jesus or simply a win for me? And so if I step in and say something, sometimes it's because I just got to get it off my chest. I'm going to explode if I don't say something. That's just a win for me. And sometimes if we step back and say nothing and do nothing, even though we know we ought to step in, sometimes we do that because, well, I don't want people to hate me. And I don't want to be criticized. And so that's a win for me. So I avoid conflict. And so the question is, in stepping in or stepping back, will my decision to do so mean victory for Jesus or just simply a win for me? You know, whether at home, work, school, even church, we need the wisdom to know when to speak up and when to step back. And I don't have the answer for every single scenario for you. But the beautiful thing is the more we grow in our maturity with Christ, I'm confident that God will give us the wisdom to know when it is His will for us to step in or to step back. This passage also tells us that there's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. What that means is this. Think about that. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. What that means is different seasons will bring different people into our lives. For a season, you might grow close to a coworker, a neighbor, a fellow church member. And then maybe life changes. Maybe you move. Maybe you change jobs. Maybe you retire. Maybe the circumstances change. And then with those changes, what happens is new people come into your lives. There's a time to hold on, embrace, and there will be times where we're going to let go. That's part of the natural rhythm of life. Now, lifelong friends are a true treasure. And I want you to take a moment and think about your lifelong friends. Okay. Now, none of us should be thinking about 100 people right now, because lifelong friends are very, very few. Very, very few. These are the friends who have been with you through every season, through thick and thin, through all the changes of life. Okay. And these are the friends who maybe you haven't seen for years, and you get back together and it's like no time has passed. You get each other. You know each other. Lifelong friends are a treasure. At the same time, many and most of our relationships will be seasonal. Now, some of those seasons will be shorter than others. Some will be much longer than others, but that's okay. For a season, God might bring someone into your life to encourage you, for you to encourage. And then for another season, maybe God moves that person or moves you elsewhere. And so this passage tells us about the reality that there are amongst our relationships, relationships that we will embrace and then also refrain from embracing. I will say this, though. We do want to be careful and not misinterpret this passage when it says there will be times where you will refrain from embracing. We don't refrain from embracing simply because we get bored of people or we are upset at them or we're angry with them or frustrated with them. That's not what this verse is talking about at all. Instead, it's discerning the right time to change and stay open to God's change in our lives. The passage also says that there's a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away. And what this means is there will be times where you must move forward with determination. We're talking about pursuits, whatever that pursuit might be. As God calls you to a pursuit, maybe as you think about a career, maybe as you think about a relationship, maybe as you think about something in life, there will be times where God's calling you to move forward with determination. And then at times, God calls you to step back and say, you know what? Here's the reality of the situation. So there's a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away. And the key to learning about whether you ought to keep moving forward with determination or maybe face the reality of the situation, the key is as we learn from God's word, we will become better equipped at making those choices. The more we stay in tune with God's word, the better you and I will be at making those determinations about whether to pursue something with determination or whether to say, you know what? I've tried. I've tried and tried. It's time to let that pursuit go. Last week, we talked about building our lives on solid ground, and I used the illustration of a compass. And don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to point north this week, okay? Because those of you who were here last week, I asked you on the count of three, point north, okay? And many of you pointed north. Some of you didn't. I won't point those out. But the reality is this. North is always north, wherever you think north is, okay? Over there. Yeah. So north is always north. And it doesn't matter which direction you are standing or where you're heading. North is always north. It is not relative. It is absolute. God's word is always absolute. It's not relative. God's word doesn't change based upon our circumstances and based upon which direction we're headed. It's always pointing us toward God. And the one thing we said was that the word of God is not to be viewed as a GPS turn-by-turn manual. And what I meant by that was the word of God is not going to tell you the name of the school you should attend. The word of God is not going to tell you what career to pursue. The word of God is not going to tell you the name of the person you ought to marry. But in every one of those situations and every other situation, both big and small, the Word of God gives us guidance, direction, and it always points us to God. And I know every day we wake up thinking, what is God's will for me right now? What is God's will for me as a student? What is God's for me in my career choice? What is God's for me in my family? We're asking ourselves that question all the time. What is God's will? And the best way that I can answer that question is, and I'm going to paraphrase something I read from an author. If we are not willing to follow the will of God we already know, then why should we expect him to reveal the will we don't yet know? I want to say that again. If we're not willing to follow the will of God that we already know, which is clearly laid out in his scripture, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, love your neighbor as yourself. You want to know God's will? Open the Gospels and read every word of Jesus. That is God's will. So if we're not willing to obey the will of God that we already know, we cannot expect him to reveal to us the will that we don't yet know. And I believe with my whole heart that if we are focused on following the will of God right here in his word, all those other decisions, they will fall into place. They will, absolutely, because he will change our heart. And so then we will know, we will understand when it's time to keep searching for something, when it's time to let go of searching, when it's time to keep or time to throw away. As we grow in wisdom and obedience, we'll become more discerning. I wholeheartedly believe that. And then today's passage also speaks about a time to tear and a time to mend. Another vivid picture. In ancient times, and even today in many cultures, tearing one's clothing was a symbol of deep grief. So they would grieve by tearing their clothing. What that means is there will be seasons in our lives when we just feel, we just feel deep grief, and we will mourn the loss of someone. And some of you are walking in that season right now. Many in our congregation are walking through a season of deep grief, where you've said goodbye to somebody that you deeply love. You know, grief is deeply personal. No two people grieve the same. No two people. And, you know, for some, the grieving period is long and it is very, very painful. While others, they grieve a little bit differently. And sometimes what happens is this produces tension, even within families. Because siblings, children, they may grieve very differently over the loss of the same loved one. And this can often produce tension in a family because one child or one sibling might say, why aren't you grieving? Why aren't you grieving like I'm grieving? And so grief is deeply personal. But whatever the grieving process might be for every individual here, God's word reminds us that there's also a time to mend, a time to heal. One commentator puts it this way, and I hope this provides some encouragement. When you're in the grieving process, if it's going to be painful, go through it. Don't get stuck in it. If it's going to be painful, go through it. Don't get stuck in it. We cannot avoid pain in this life, and yet we can learn how to walk through grief. And in time, we can heal. And the passage ends with these words. There's a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Whatever one's personal view of war might be, whatever one's view of global conflict might be, I just want to share one truth with you. Okay, in this room, there may be many different views about war and conflict. This much is true. Here's one truth. War is always the result of sin. no matter one's personal view, war is always the result of sin. Humanity lives in a fallen state. And as long as that's true, there's going to be brokenness, there'll be division, there'll be unrest. There's a phrase that appears in Ecclesiastes almost 30 times, 29 to be exact. It's the phrase, under the sun. If you read through Ecclesiastes from cover to cover, you'd hear that phrase over and over, under the sun, under the sun. And these three words, I want you to know, these three words describe what life is like without heaven in view. In this lifetime, under the sun, without an eternal perspective. And that's exactly how many people live their lives, without an eternal perspective. And when that happens, life becomes frustrating, repetitive, and even meaningless. And so what happens is we move from one goal to another, one experience to another, one person to another, always hoping to find lasting satisfaction, only to end in emptiness. And that is why I want to close with this. Verses 1 through 8 ultimately lead us to verses 9 through 12. So let's read verses 9 through 12. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. These verses remind us that it all comes down to this one thing, perspective. We choose how we live life. That's the message. We choose how we live this life that God has ordained for us. And when we choose to live life with an eternal perspective, we begin to recognize that God has a plan. And that plan is going to be full of all the seasons. And my encouragement for you this week is, as you open your calendar, as you look at all the to-do items and all the appointments, just know this. God has, he has organized your calendar for you. Every event and every appointment, every conversation that you have ready for you that day, God has ordained for you. And when we look at life that way, it takes the burden off of us. And it should. Now, I know that that's easier said than done. Because sometimes the reality is you have a conversation coming that you are not looking forward to. You know it's going to be a hard one. But if we understand that God has appointed that for us, and it's on him, okay? So I love it. It's on God, okay? Because he has sovereignly appointed our calendar for us. He's organized it for us. Then what we do is we wake up and we are just in obedience to it. And we know that he's got this. And if we have an eternal perspective, all the events of that calendar, God's got it. He will take care of. He has set the seasons in motion, the specific times and the purposes for each of our lives. I invite you back here next week because now we're going to focus our attention now on the stage of childhood. And it's going to be an important message, not only for young parents, for all of us, grandparents, great-grandparents, aunts and uncles, big brothers and big sisters. This is a message for all of us because God's word is going to speak truth into our lives. So come back. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Would you bow with me? Father, we're so thankful that you are the God of all seasons. And this is a passage that prompts reflection. It causes us to just kind of pause, take stock, examine our lives. Lord, you know our seasons, and you know what season we're in right now. And God, I pray that we would walk through the season with an eternal perspective. Thank you for this book. Thank you for this rich truth. And I pray that we would go forward this week with these words in our hearts and in our minds. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, down the cross for our sins. Thank you that through him, our sins have been forgiven, that we have new life, that we can walk in the light of his truth, God. And so we commit this week in our lives to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.